Well, we want to get into the Bible tonight, and we're so thankful, Brother Brown, being here. Thank you for each of you being with us, and some of you got to meet or see Brother Dave Yoder and his wife are with us today as well, and we're so thankful for them and the mission work that they've been doing, and our church had an opportunity to support part of that, and we're certainly thankful that we were able to help on some of the trips, but looking forward to him being with us for a day or so, and we're certainly thankful he's up in the balcony, and we're just glad that each of you have made your way here. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll continue on as we're preaching through this book. And we looked last time at the verse number 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. But we're looking at verse number 7 tonight. And it's not my intention just to take one verse a night, but it just so worked out that seemed like that's the way the Lord was leading as I was trying to break some of these things up. So we're looking tonight at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, and talking about the trial of your faith. And none of us want to be on that trial. None of us want to have those trials, but nonetheless, they all come. Verse 7 of 1 Peter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask God to bless us tonight as we look into it, and I trust that it'll be a help to you. It was a help to me as I studied it, and I trust that it will be the same to you. Father, be with us now is our prayer. I thank you for bringing Brother Brown our way. Thank you that you have, Lord, blessed him, and I pray that you would provide the needs that they have, both personnel and finances, dear Lord. I pray that you would just do a great work there in that ministry. Thank you for the other wonderful men that you've brought our way. Thank you for all the families that are here. I pray that you'd give us a good time in your word now. And Lord, we're looking forward to what you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do want to just share with you again to be praying. This is not having anything to do with the message, but in case I forget before we leave, to be praying for this weekend every day, if you don't mind. Pray for this coming weekend. We're going to have the sunrise service at 7 o'clock, Lord willing, right out there in the courtyard. If not that, we'll have it in the chapel and then have the services at 9 and 11, and we're going to ask God to give us a wonderful, wonderful crowd. Thank you for continuing to pray with that. Pray with us about that. Well, I'm thinking here, the Bible says that the trial of your faith, I'm thinking about what, there are several things that we could break that down way down into it, but we're not going to get that far. The trial of your faith, it's a possessive thing, it's something you've got. And as we look at that, the trial of your faith, the Bible says, and that faith being much more precious than of gold than that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Now, most of you know the analogy that this is coming playing off of, and the goldsmith would take that gold, and of course it's mined out of the earth, and they would take that gold and they would heat it up, and they would bring it in those furnaces, and those furnaces around, when this was written first to the human eyes that saw it, then they would have had those little small furnaces that were around there, and they would have melted that gold, and there would have been a lot of impurities, and there would have been a lot of dirt and trash and all of that along with it. And as they melted that and heated it up, then it would always bring those impurities to the top. And those goldsmiths, they would scrape that off. They would call that the dross, and they would just pull it off the top, and it got purer and purer. And as it got continued to get heated up, then that would just continue to bring the impurities to the top. And my friend, God has given you and I this precious faith that he's talking about here. And our precious faith goes through that trial. It goes through this as that gold that's brought through that fire. Then your faith, that's much more precious than that gold. God brings the analogy that it brings through that fire, comes rather through that fire as well. And so it brings those things that are not pure up to the top. And the master's going to take those off. And you say, but Pastor, I don't like that very well. Well, join the club. I don't like it very well either. And we understand that those things, when they're taken out of our lives, you understand some of those things, they were so closely into that gold, they were just embedded in there. But that process separates the gold from the dross and separates the gold from what's not precious. But I want to look at a couple things tonight. I want you to look at this precious faith that we have. The Bible says that this faith, it's not the trial that's precious necessarily. It's helping our faith. But that faith that's so, so precious, the Bible says, as a matter of fact, it's more precious than gold. I want you to think about this. There's a couple reasons why it's precious. Number one, underneath there, if you're taking notes, it's because it's of Christ. The faith that we have, that's Christ. He gives a measure of faith. It's valuable because it's placed in Christ. Now, some people, they will talk about religion and they will say, well, aren't they so sincere? My friend, you could have all the sincerity that you want if it was placed in a substance or an activity or a church, something that could not save, then that sincere faith, although sincere, is sincerely wrong. And so the faith that matters and the reason it's so precious is because it's in and of Jesus Christ. But not only that, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. So not only is it of Christ, but it's also salvation's avenue, if you will. That's just the way I've termed it that way. You don't get saved by anything. It's not that, wow, I had such great faith, so Jesus saved me. You don't have great faith and get saved. You get saved because your faith is placed in Jesus Christ. You could have the smallest amount. You could have the faith that you have. You can't say, oh, I've got a strong faith. And I think we know what we mean when people say that. And I appreciate it. I hope that people say that about all of us. Oh, they've got a strong faith. But can I just remind you that when you got saved, you did not get saved because, wow, he's got a strong, strong, strong faith. I believe God's going to let him in. No, we got saved because who our faith was placed in. Amen. For by grace are you saved, and that avenue that it comes is through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God. But I'm thinking about this precious faith. You take whatever it is that you've got that is precious to you. Maybe it's that grandfather clock that means something because of who gave it to you. Maybe it's that something people aren't as big on hanging or putting something rather on the mantle as much as they used to be. It used to be that people would buy something or get it handed down to them, and wow, that's a real family heirloom. Maybe not so much anymore, but whatever it is, that precious grandfather clock or that precious item, that something that means something to you, you leave stuff aside and you put in a preeminent place there in the house so that you can show it off. And I suppose there's nothing wrong with that. But my friend, there's nothing as precious as this precious faith that the Bible says is much more precious than gold that perisheth. Because gold is one of the things that we call the most valuable metal in this earth, maybe a couple others or more, but it's one of the valuable metals. But my friend, the Bible says about your faith, much more precious than gold. Why? Because that gold is perishing. That gold is going to be done away with, but that faith is what gets us to that place where we see the Lord. So I'm looking at this precious faith, but I've got to bring it to this point tonight. Not only is it precious, and I'm thankful to God that it is, and you probably knew I was coming here, but this faith is not only precious, but it's tried. You say, Pastor John, I don't think I like that one. Well, I don't either. And I don't like it when it's in my family, be it my physical family or my church family. But we've watched it again and again and again. People's faith that's tried. God doesn't say, beware, there may be some trying of your faith. He says, buckle up, it's coming. He says that this precious faith, though it be tried with fire. He doesn't put a disclaimer on there that some of you are going to have that faith tried. He just lays it out as the understood promise. You shall have that faith, and it's going to be tried by fire. Back to that goldsmith that heats that gold up, and the impurities come to the top, and they scrape it off and put that to the side, and then they heat it up and scrape it off, and it comes off the side, and they get it more and more and more pure. And many of you have heard this illustration, but I'm told that those Eastern goldsmiths that would have been around when the first original readers were seeing this, that I'm told that those Eastern goldsmiths would keep that metal in the furnaces until they couldn't see any impurities on the top, and they could see the goldsmith's face reflecting off of that gold. And I don't want to be too symbolic here, but you understand that as the Lord looks down on us and he lets our faith be tested and lets our faith be tried, and those impurities are coming off or coming up and he scrapes them to the side, you and I are supposed to be getting more and more and more like him so that we show the reflection of Jesus Christ. And my friend, I'm afraid that today we've got so many Christians that they don't look anything like the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got the name, yes, but their lifestyle does not reflect Jesus Christ. And you would, I go back to what an old preacher said, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you of that accusation? And I'm afraid that some of the Christians that we have in our world today, there seems to be more impurities in that faith of theirs. There seems to be more cluttered in that faith of theirs than there is that pure gold. Are you saying they're not saved, Pastor? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we sometimes have rejected the trials and the testing that God allows to come into our lives, and we rejected it so much. We say, oh, I don't like that. That's hot. And so we see that this faith is tried. Your faith is precious, and all that God is doing is refining that. You understand that you're going to be ready for heaven one of these days. Now, it may be tonight, but if you live to be another 10 years older than you are right now, and the Lord doesn't come back before that time, then your faith ought to be a purer faith. Your faith ought to be one that glorifies him. Your faith ought to be one that the face of the Master is seen in you more than it currently is. You say, Pastor, I've been saved for a lot of years. God's not done purifying you, and God's not done refining you. And as we see this tried faith that's in there, I'm reminded of what a preacher said, that a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And if your faith is going to be so weak that when the winds of this world come, you can't stand strong, and my friend, that's not much of a faith to take you whatever's going to go through this life. There's young people in this room today, and they need to look at the older folks of our church, and they need to be looking at you, some of your grandparents, and they need to say, wow, they have stayed faithful. I see the tried faith that's here. God is removing my stubbornness. He's allowing the things that come into my life. How many of you had things this month you haven't liked? Could God have stopped any of those? He could have. Many of them he didn't sin. Many of them was our own stupidity. Many of them was just life. Many of them was other things that whatever. But God could have stopped whatever. But he allowed some of those things to come. And some of us have been through some pretty deep valleys this year. Well, God's removing those impurities. He's getting us to a spot where he wants us. He's removing my stubbornness, removing my rebellion, removing my pride and my arrogance and my conniving attitude where I can think I can get it done and nobody will even know it. God's removing those things because he wants that faith to be purer and purer, this tried faith that we see here, that the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire, that's what's happening to you. Can I say to you, my friend, before we bellyache, and all of us do, but before we spend so much time asking or complaining and saying shouldn't be happening to me, I don't understand all this, could we instead look and see what God's doing in my life because of this? What's he heating up to bring some of those impurities out? It happens oftentimes when people are dating, young people, maybe going to college and they're dating, find out who they want to marry, and they go through great difficulties. Say, why is that happening? To push off some of the junk off the top. All right, you people that are married in this room, how many of you glad you didn't marry somebody you used to be dating? You're chicken, aren't you? I said, how many of you? I know you're looking over your wife. Can I raise my hand or not? I didn't ask how many of you wished you hadn't married the one you did. I said one that you thought was the right one. And at that point, you thought your life was ended. God was just taking some things away from you so that you could go and find exactly what he wanted in your life. Sometimes we act like God gets a kick out of seeing us suffer. He loves us too much for that. He cares too much about you just to let problems come into your life in a haphazard fashion. He loves you more than the dearest person in your life loves you. Amen. Isn't that hard to believe? I mean, it's not hard to believe, but it's hard to comprehend, I should say. And he's not letting the trials that come your way in a whimsical, haphazard way just find their way into your life. He allows these things that he can purify that gold, that faith that's more precious than gold. It's that tried faith. And as we go through the funeral lines, and we go through the hospital lines, we go through all the health conditions that many of you are facing right now, and you would do what needed to be done if only you knew what needed to be done, but you plus three doctors can't figure out what needs to be done. You say, I don't understand. I don't either. But I know that that faith that you've got, when it's tried, that faith remains true, and that faith remains pure. And as God lets that faith of yours be tested, and he pulls off that dross, and he pulls off those negatives, and as you watch the dearest person on this earth that slips away from you, and the greatest trial that you've ever gone through in all of your life, and God remains faithful to you, and he lets that heat come up in your life, and that faith of yours is tried, and that is heated up even more, and the faith is tried some more, and God pulls the junk and the impurities and the dross off of there, then you come through the other side, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you come through the other side of that, and you realize that the Master has been looking down in that face or in that gold, and you can once again see the face of the Savior. Amen. My friend, our faith is a tried faith. You didn't get a present that God said, here. This faith of yours will never be tested. It will never be tried. It will never have any issues with it. That faith is going to be tried again and again. You don't have to be on a college campus to have your faith tried. Your faith can be tried just by your home. Your faith can be tried just by your family. And your faith can be tried by just going through your work or through your work life. My friend, I'm trying to tell you that this is a tried faith that we've got here. Though it be tried with fire. But I give you the last one before we leave. I see in the end of the verse, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. If you're taking notes, I also see this glorifying faith. It's a precious faith that's tried, but it's also a glorifying faith. I watched some videos as I was trying to get ready for this message, and watch some videos of goldsmiths that would take that gold that had the impurities in it, and they would melt it, and they would scrape the dross off, and they would melt it. And so we've gotten very sophisticated in the way we do it, but the concept is still the same. Process is still similar. Do you know what each one of those goldsmiths did? Maybe you'll find a video that I didn't, but all the ones I watched, you know what they did at the end? After they got that gold, when they scraped off all that junk and then they put it into a little mold or something, then they put it in water and burned the fingertips off of them, they would take that gold and they would show it. It started off as something that was still valuable, but not very pretty. But when they went all the way through that process, each one of them, they would take that little ingot or that little round or that little bar, whatever, different ones of them did differently, and they put it in that little mold, but then they get it out, cool it all down, and then each one of them would just show it. Look at this. In one of these days, my friend, Scripture says that this faith that's more precious than gold might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Those trials that you're going through have made us more like the Savior. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and of the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That trial that I'm complaining about, it may very well be making me more like him. the things that I'm worried about right now in life, and I'm trying to pray over and trying to just wonder why God's allowing some things to happen in my life and your life, it may be very well just getting a little bit purer faith so that one of these days somebody can hold up and say, look how beautiful this is. You remember Paul and his thorn in the flesh? John, the one that was, they tried to kill him a time or two, but exiled to Patmos. Most of the apostles were martyred that they might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul said, God used him to say, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Trial after trial. But one day, every trial that you went through will seem small. One day, at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, be it when He comes back or when you go to see Him, might it be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll close with this. I've met a few people in life, not many, but that live their life with a permanent mark, scar, or deformity, or insufficiency because of something they did for their family, for a family member, someone because they risked their life and it took some ability away from them. Some mothers have sometimes lived without full use of everything after giving birth, and there's different problems. But the people that I've known that now suffer for the rest of their life, as far as they know, because of someone they love dearly, I don't sense a spirit of regret in that mother. I don't sense a spirit of regret in that father that doesn't have a complete body now because he risked it and got part of it deformed. Amen. Because of their loved one. Instead, I sense a spirit of, I would do that again if duty called me to do it. And I think about the trials and the suffering and the testings that you are going through as believers. I believe that one of these days when we see the Lord, we'll be thankful, because here's what we saw in Paul's life back when we were looking at him. The thorn brought him closer to the Lord. But here we see in this passage that it might be found unto praise. Did you read that right? That trial of my faith, that faith is tried by fire, that faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the things that I complain about now, I may one day look back and say, Lord, thank you for allowing that to come into my life, because I relied on you more than I would have had that trial not come. Folks, this is a hard message to preach, because nobody wants to invite difficulty and trials and testings unless you're some kind of sick puppy. Nobody wants to do that. But I'm just telling you that many of you right now are going through these things. But that faith can be that glorifying faith that brings honor and glory to the Lord. You check it out. There's lots of YouTube videos about people that are taking silver or gold, and as they melt it down, these little home forges or whatever they call those things, not forges, but those little furnaces. And when they get done, every one of them, the ones I watched anyways, couldn't resist the urge to show off that handiwork. Look at that. Look at the gleam of that. Look at the pureness of that. I would love for the Lord to be able to say, as Scripture says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd love for that faith of mine to be able to be shown like that bar of gold is. Well, that's something precious. I'd like for God, before I get out of here, to take that faith of mine and show it to this world so it brung glory to Him. And those testings and those trials and those things that come my way, if they're pointing me more to Christ, I'm going to have to say, Lord, your will be done. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you would help my friends. Lord, some of the best people I know are going through the most right now. And Lord, truly, if I were in charge, I would not do it that way. But Lord, I've seen too many good soldiers of the cross that have looked back over the trials and testings of their life, and they would not change it if they could. Lord, it blows me away. So I pray that, Lord, this genuine faith that gets tested would be a glorifying faith. Lord, I pray that you would help us still be in the trench, still be in the battle. Lord, I pray that our faith would be legitimate and genuine, real. And Lord, as the winds howl about us and the testings and the trials come, may it just be used to make that faith more vibrant and real in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with me as they begin to play? And if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. My friend, I don't know all that you're going through, but I believe that some of the greatest Christians that I know are going through some of the most intense testing. If that's you, would you just give it to the Lord. Pray and yield it to Him. And say, Lord, do what you want done in my life through this trial. Lord, let this test be what you want it to accomplish. Make it accomplish what you want to accomplish in my life. If you're here tonight and God's just put a great burden on your heart because of some of the things you're going through, wouldn't you just tell Him this evening, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Is that old preacher right? A faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. May we have that faith that can be trusted. If you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit, would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. My friend, we're getting ready to celebrate the resurrection next week, but maybe you've never celebrated it in your life. You've never received Christ as your personal Savior, the resurrected Savior. Would you come and let Him show you how you can be saved? You can look this way. Well, it's been a joy to be in church tonight, and I want to thank each of you for being here with us, and I'm going to ask Brother Brown, if you don't mind, to slip back to your table there in the lobby, and you get by and see him and keep up with him, maybe sign up on their email, get their social media sites, and keep up with what they're doing. There's a couple reasons. I'm certainly glad to have Brother Brown here, but it's also a blessing to, I've never met Brother Smith, the missionary that we support that serves with this board, and this also allows us the accountability to have Brother Brown here because he was just out there, and allows us to make sure that the mission money is going to the right places, and so we thank God for that. My dad was saved at a serviceman's center in California, not the one that Brother Smith works at, but And so it is dear to my heart, and I thank God for what these men are doing, men and ladies, and we thank God for that. So hopefully you'll get by and see him. And Brother Butch Abbott is taking off for Canada on Tuesday. Eh? That's a little Canada joke, you know. So I understand that's not caught by everybody. But he'll be gone for how long? A couple months? Second week of May. So be praying. He'll be up there filling in for a good missionary. He's got to come out for a while. So be praying for the Abbots as they go and ask the Lord to bless them. It only takes 2 or 3 days of driving to get up there. So that's all. He and Miss Margie will be, they'll know each other well by that time if they don't already. So if they're still married after that trip, then we'll know it's true love, Brother Butch. So you pray for them as they go, and we'll certainly thank God. And then Tuesday night, Thursday night, if you're able to come, Family Life Center, 6 o'clock, go out, invite people to Easter services. But whatever you do, don't forget to take some of these cards with you. Be inviting this week and be praying that God give us a wonderful, wonderful crowd. And thank God for the one that got saved. Brother Kyle, thank you for announcing that. And we also are grateful. It's hard to believe, but there were 694 people here today. Amen. That's amazing. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for it. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. If you're one of the greeters, Brother Dave Pruitt and I will meet you back in the blue room. We won't keep you long. It'll be a 10-minute meeting or less. And I just want to go over just a few things with you, and then we'll let you go quickly. God bless you. You're dismissed.